Good evening. I would just like to amen what Brother Jason was saying. You know, it's really not that important who does the speaking. We have the different servants of the Lord have different gifts and different experiences, and that adds variety to what's brought. But really what's important is what the Holy Spirit is doing. And so I'd like to just amen what the brother said, and I'd like to encourage all of us, including myself, just open our hearts to what does the Holy Spirit want to tell me? What does God want to show me this week? Like the brother says, he might use part of the message for someone and another part for another one. But I just encourage all of us, even the young people, just what does God want to tell me tonight? I'm finding it a joy to getting to know you more. I was a little nervous when I came here, I'll admit. I'm maybe not over it yet, but not knowing many of you and different things. But I appreciate that the more I fellowship with you, the more at home I feel. feel a kindred spirit. We love the Lord together. Tonight we'd like to continue. I'd like to look some more at Genesis chapter 1. We're looking at some foundational truths. This is a series that we're looking at, and we'll be building up to redemption. And the reason I do this is I think today we have too cheap a concept of what salvation is. So we're laying some foundations to build up to that. You pray for us. The most important message is going to be when we talk about Jesus' work. But we're working towards that. One time I was having some meetings, and I often use this, and one brother didn't like what I was doing. He says, "That doesn't sound like evangelistic messages." Well, maybe they aren't. Maybe they aren't. But in my experience in working with people and helping people find the Lord, I like to lay a good foundation first. So that's sort of what we're doing the first few days here. We looked at the existence of God, the truth of God is and who He is. And of course, we could speak a lot more about that. Tonight, I'd like to look a little bit on who we are. Maybe you've heard this little story that Ray Vanderlaan says. There was one time this rabbi, years ago, a rabbi was walking in Israel, walking down a little path after dark. And he came to a crossroads or a Y in the path. He took the wrong path accidentally. I don't know if he was meditating or what, and he got off on the wrong path. And all at once, he finds himself in front of this big Roman fortress. He was trying to come to his town. Instead of that, he comes somewhere else. And out of the fortress, the guard barks and yells at him, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" And so the rabbi thinks a little bit, and he says, "Say, why do you get paid for asking me those two questions?" And I forget now, was it one denarius or something like this? I get paid so much a day. And then the rabbi says, "Hey, I'll give you double that if you come to my house every day and ask me those two questions. Who are you, and what are you doing here?" I'd like to look at that tonight. Who are you? Who am I? And I'm not asking for your name. That's important. That's the way we call you. And I'm not asking you the name, but who am I, and what am I here for? Those are some foundational questions that I think it's good to look at. And tonight I'd like to look at that a little bit. Who am I and what am I here for? Let's read again. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now let's read verses 26 to 28. After he had made the seas and the world and the stars and the sun and the animals and the plants and the fish and the birds, the last day God says this, and God said, and this is the most important part of creation, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Okay, so here we see God in creation. God was in the beginning, like we said yesterday. God was first. Before creation, before all the things that we can see and know were made, God already existed. And before he created, he had to think and he had to plan for creation. And he had a purpose for creation. He created everything with a design and with a purpose. And we were created to function in a certain way. We were created for something. God had a plan for us. And so what I want to do, and I think you do too, we want to do what we were made to do. We want to fulfill the purpose that he had for us. You can look at my glasses. I like to use this example. Can you imagine someone who'd never seen glasses? Sometimes I wish I'd never have to see these. I get tired of putting them on and off. But my eyesight, my age, I need glasses to be able to read the page. If not, the letters shimmer and jump around that, and I can't read hardly. So I need these. But let's imagine someone from the jungles of Peru or someone who's never seen a pair of glasses. And he looks at this and goes, what is this? What is this for? You know, I can use this, what it may be, to stir the sugar in my coffee. If you put sugar in your coffee like I do, and you stir your sugar in your coffee, well, it might work. You could use it, I'm thinking of Costa Rica, use it to kill roaches, kill flies. That wouldn't work very good, would it? I could use it as an ornament, hang it on myself or something. But you know, listen to it, you know, all at once he finds out these two little things right here are made to sit on his nose, you know. Well, and these on the ears, and wow, I can see better. It works. You know, if I use them for what they fit, that's neat. You know? If we use them for what they were designed to be used for, it works good. But if I use them to stir coffee, if I use them to kill roaches, if I use them for, you know, a spoon, maybe try to eat with them, you know, it doesn't work. And that's just an example. But things always work better when they're used the way they were designed to be used. If we don't understand that in our own lives. Because the truth of the matter is, all the frustrations and all the difficulties humanity has because they have not understood why we were created. And we're not living the way God wanted us to live. I'm going to talk more about that tomorrow. The negative part of that. But God had a purpose for us. And when we, you know, just like these glasses. Wow, they work. Hey, you know, this is good. If we can discover why we were made and do what we were made to do, then all at once, things work. You know? Just simple things. Just to start off, we'll talk more about it tomorrow. You know, I forget names. I'm sorry, people. I forget names so much. Here's Jason's son again. You sit up front, I'll catch you every time. When Jason tries to be dad, you ever tried to do dad's work, Jason? I mean, not Jason. What's his name? Little Jason. Ryan. Okay, Ryan. Thank you. Okay, if Ryan tries to do dad's work, he thinks he can do it better than dad can, and maybe he can. Someday he can try, Ryan, but not yet. But you know, if Ryan tries to do dad's work, it won't work. Never work. When the wife tries to do the man's work or the man tries to do the wife's work, it never works. But when we do what we were, Ryan, you can be the best son in the world. You can. You can be a good son. Someday you can be a father. Just wait. Have patience. But the thing of doing what we were made to do, finding our place, is important. We find fulfillment in knowing why God made us and doing what he wants us to do. We lose an awful lot of time trying to do things that God doesn't want us to do. define the plan. So what is the plan? What is the plan? I think I discovered this in a new way, at least. Yes, in a new way. I think I told you the other day I was working with some boys that had been on drugs and alcohol. And the one night, the young boys, 19 years old. I was coming home from some meetings about 11 o'clock at night. And they stopped me, and I was tired, but they said, Alan is trying to commit suicide. He's tried to jump off the bridge, and we caught him. Could you please come help us? And he took off running and fell into a ditch. The ditch was dry, no water in it, but sort of dirty down in there. He had ran and fell into that, and he was down there crying and asking people to get away, let him go. He just wants to kill himself. And so I crawled down in the ditch with him. And I sit there beside him. And I asked the other boys if they can just leave me alone with him a while. And the poor boy was all torn up. He was under the effects of alcohol, all torn up and crying. And I don't want to live. You know, Mark, you don't understand my life. My life's a mess. I don't want to live anymore. And it was an outstanding experience. I wish I could say that he's serving the Lord today. He's not. Like I said last night, I think he's off of drugs. But that night, we prayed. I prayed for him, and I did something a little different. I asked Satan to leave this man go and let him loose and let him think, because he was just beside himself, just crying. And all at once, his mind cleared up. And I never prayed before the man to clear him up with alcohol, but all at once, it was gone. The effect of alcohol was gone, and that ditch turned into a sanctuary. We worshiped the Lord together that night. And he told me, he said, oh, it's so different. I feel so different. And he worshiped the Lord that night. I know he did. All at once he saw God and God's love. And I had some Bible studies with him then afterwards. And these verses jumped out at me, and I used it for him. And I've used them quite often since. What were we made for? And down beside a river I was looking at, and he got this faraway look in his eyes. And he understood. And he still knows. He's still my friend. Every time he's on my prayer list, I'm praying for him. And every time I meet him, there's something between us. He knows. But I was looking at this verse here. When God says, let us make man in our image and in the likeness, in his likeness and in our image. The fact that we're made in the image of God. Teaching, giving him a little Bible study. This kid brought a new light to me when I was teaching this to Alan. We are made in the image of someone else. Now stop thinking about it. There's some things to think about a little. We were made, all of us, in someone else's image. I'll use this little example. Before I was married, we had lived in Costa Rica, and I came back to the States to get married to my wife in Illinois. So I was there a few months. I was there, over a year. While I was there, my father-in-law was starting to get a little church together in his house, a group to get together. They had left the conference, the Illinois conference, and wanted something more conservative. And they asked me to preach for them. I wasn't ordained then yet, but they asked me to do some teaching for him, which I did. I did that for a few months. I was there, and they knew me. And just before we were married, my father came up. And so that Sunday, they had Dad preach, of course. And after the service, one of the ladies said, she says, Mark, I thought you were an original. You're just a copy. You're just a copy of your father. Says, you're not original. You're just a copy. Because I guess they say I act like Dad, didn't talk like Dad. I don't know. But anyway, I didn't mind that because I love my father. But you know, the truth of the matter is, maybe we would like to be original. We'd like to do my thing. We would like to think, I am, and we are unique. Like I said yesterday, we are unique. There's no one else like us. But in spite of that, we'll be talking more about that, especially to the youth. I'd like to talk about some of this. But in spite of that, we are all made in the image of God. In other words, we are made to be like someone else, to look like someone else. So we were not, and this, listen, if we grab a hold of this truth, it's a foundational thing. And it might change your outlook on life, especially young people. You were not created, come here, to be me. You know, this is me and I'm living for myself. We were created to show off someone else. If I can say show off. You know, if we were created to show the image of someone else. If we can understand that, that's a foundational thing that's important. I was not made. You know, I can think a lot about Mark. You know, Mark can do this and Mark can do that. And we get so wrapped up and our world gets so mixed up and confused because we spend so much time trying to be original, trying to be my own thing, and trying to stand out and trying to be important. And we might talk some more about that later. We all long to be important. We long to be, I don't like to use the word important, we all long to be worthy of love. We all want to be worthy of love. To be loved, actually, if in the right way, makes us feel worthy. It's not quite the right word to say feel important, you know, because we look at that too selfish, to be more important than others. But we all have a longing to be of value. And that's what love does. Love, when mom loves me, it means that I'm worth something. We have that longing, and that longing is not wrong. Well, it can be if it's out of place, but we have a longing to find our place, to be what we should be. But to find that is not to do my thing and to look out. It's sort of a paradox. It's like the New Testament, like Jesus said, we have to die to live. We have to surrender to receive, to really find out who we are, and to find the meaning in life is when we understand that we were made to reveal God's glory, when we were made to show Him and not show ourselves. One example, and use this for the women. You know, women can struggle and you can fight and you can resent the men and you can do all you want to. But one of the foundational things for a woman to find satisfaction is to accept God's place for her. You know, to be a supplement and a blessing and a help to the man. Once they accept that position, all at once you find freedom. In the same way, this in our position, when we stop struggling for ourselves, we stop trying to make a name for ourselves, we start trying to fight for our own rights, and we try to build ourselves up, and we realize, listen, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to show the glory of the Creator. I was made in His image. Now, exactly how all we are made in His image, I don't know if I can tell you. I haven't seen God. God's a spirit. That's why God can be everywhere. That's why God's closer to you than I am. He's right there closer. He's closer to you, Ryan, than your father is. God's always right around us. But I can't see God, and I don't know exactly how we're like God. I don't know how we're made in His image, but there's certain things that I think I understand. The animals are not made in the image of God. The monkey looks like us. They can act and do some things that are like us. But they're not like us. And one way that we're different is that we can reason. We can plan. We can find a purpose. And we can plan and reason and like God. Now, we're not all-knowing like God is. But we have the capacity to plan, to reason, to think, to decide. An animal to decide how to get to its food fast. Or get some things like that. But an animal doesn't do much planning for the future. I like goats. Goats are smart, but goats are also very dumb. Goats don't like dirty food. But they'll walk right on their food and then they won't eat it because they walked on it. Ryan, you wouldn't be that dumb, would you? To make your food dirty and then later you know you weren't going to eat it. But animals don't think very far in the future. Now, instinct does. But for humans, we have the capacity of thinking, of planning, of deciding. Of subduing, here it says, have dominion and subduing, of ruling on this world. We have the capacity to rule, to lead, to plan in the image of like God. I don't understand how all, but we were made to show God's glory. Now you know the birds, the flowers, the storms, the stars. The seas, they all show the glory of God. No, I really like your the valley here in Oregon. And look at these mountains. I enjoy it. And the flowers right now, wow. I don't know how many pictures I'm going to end up taking of your flowers around here, your trees flowering. And you know, they show the glory of God. They really do. The beauty. And God is a beautiful person. I don't know how I can think of all this beauty. And all these different flowers. And I carry this little magnifying glass. And you want to enjoy flowers, you do this and go get your little look at them real close. And it's a beauty there. Flowers are wonderful. But you know, when we are what God wants us to be, we are much more beautiful. And we have the capacity of showing more of God than the flowers do. In our planning and in our decisions and in our things. For an example, I was just enjoying time at Brother William's house with his two little boys there. I enjoyed his two sons. We had a conversation going there. I was impressed when I saw Sunday how many children you have in your church here. Young people and children. Wow, and I saw all these people going to Sunday school classes. But you know, when a father... And then if you young fathers, I'm just a young father too. When a father can love his children, discipline his children, teach his children, lead his family. You know, you can lead your family by anger. And we've made that mistake. I've made that mistake. If you haven't, I have. And sometimes when my children haven't done what I'm ashamed to say that. But I've started getting mad. And I think if I raise my voice, Mom, listen to me here. I'm the man. You know, that doesn't work. But we can try to rule our family that way. When I do that, I have to go back and apologize to my children. I don't know if you have, but I've had to. I don't know, Brother Dan, if you've done that, but I have. But that's not the way to lead. But if, as a father can, in kindness, honesty, with an open, clean face, clean heart before God, can lead his family in a loving, tender, firm yet kind way, and lead. And the result of leading well is not what you do; it's what the children do. You know, the result is what have the results of it. And if a father can do that, as you fathers or your mothers, the mother can be the mother, the tender, kind, need discipline. And you can do that in the way God wants it. You're revealing the beauty of God, the beauty of father. Being the kind of father God wants to be, and people look at that and say, wow, that's God in a man's heart. Because in the world, in sin, they don't do it that way. Oh, some of the awful things that happen in homes where they don't have Jesus in their hearts. Oh, the awful things that happen. But we were created, and young people, Ryan, the boys here, where's Russell? He's like there somewhere. I know a few names. When a child or a young person, is what God wants him to be, a clean, open face. Have you ever thought about the open face of a person? The person who's got the rebellious spirit, he'll drop his face. Now look at you this way. No. But the people have an honest, clean conscience. The Lord taking care of that with the Lord. We'll talk more about that later. I'm just talking about the foundation now. It's a beautiful person. I remember one time we used to have a lot of visitors come to our house, and it was over what they call Holy Week at home, over Good Friday, and some people came out for vacation or in our house. And this young man from the world, it was from the town, he was sleeping in bed with me. And that night he told me, he says, Mark, you know what? He says, I wish I could marry one of your sisters. I could have thought, now come on, what do you think here? We'll get you out of bed here. What do you mean you want to marry one of my sisters, a guy from town? What, you know? But you know, I understood him. He said, you know, he said, there aren't girls like that in the world. Where I come from, there are no girls like that. I just wish I could find a wife like one of your sisters. I understood him. I might not have agreed to just let him get married right away. He did. He left, and I've never seen him since. I don't remember his name. But I know what he was saying. A young person that has a clean face and responsible, submits to the parents and works in a family and love. Wow, that's beautiful. That's the image of God in us. And so, who am I? What am I here for? Number one, to show off God's character, God's beauty. And by doing that, we have to follow His plan. And the beautiful thing about this is you don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to be. We're going to talk another night for the youth about being pretty or not. I don't think that God makes anything that's not pretty. That's our problem. We make some people pretty and some not. That's cruel. But we don't have to be what the world says pretty. We don't have to have money. We don't have to be educated. We don't have to all these other things. Every single one of us can show off God's glory right where we are. Isn't that beautiful? Now, some of us do some things and others do other things. But you know, the really important thing is not what does who does what. I'm here preaching tonight. But you know what? There's an old lady at church at home. She's 96 years old. And I've asked the Lord, and she did too. She told me she's going to ask the Lord that she doesn't die until I get back. And I don't know what I'd do if she'd die. It's a dear old sister. But she says, I'm going to be praying for you every day. We've got another man, a crippled man who can't come to church. He told me, Mark, I'll pray for you every day. Now, in the presence of God, who's doing the most important work? That old saint at home praying for me? Or me standing right here preaching? The presence of God, her work might be just as important as what I'm doing. Yeah. We tend to categorize things, but for God, each one doing his part. Each one in his place. Each one doing what God wants to do. Not trying to be someone else, what God wants me to be. And showing off God's glory right where I am. As a son, be a good son. As a daughter, be a good daughter. As a husband, as a wife, as a father. And some of you, who was I talking about being a grandfather? That's a new one. I haven't reached that yet. That's another stage. But each one in what we are called to do, we can. It's within our. It's God's made it that we've got all we need to be a beautiful person right where I am supposed to be. Not waste time trying to be someone else, just what God wants to be. So, we were called to be, to show God's glory. If we can understand that, you know, I wasn't created to be selfish. I wasn't created to run my own life, to be the God of my own life. You know what that's like? Oh, we all do. Fight for my rights and struggle for my reputation. I'm upset at this person because he criticized me, and I'm upset at this person because of that, and then all these people get in my way, and all these people. I have problems with everybody, even kick the dog. Can't get along with the dog because everyone's hindering me to become what I want to be. And the problem is that I'm trying to be king of my own life, and I want everything to come my selfish, proud way. If I can just remember, I wasn't designed to be that. It's like taking my glasses and trying to kill roaches with it. You know? I wasn't designed to do that. I was designed to humble myself in the presence of God and doing what God wants me to be. Living for Him, for the glory of God. I was created in the image of God. All of us, especially young people. Young people here, 11, 12 years old, if you can understand this tonight, I'd like to encourage you to think about this. This is the reason why you're here. I was created to be in the image of someone else. You might not like it. You might not like it, but you can fight it all you want. Let's know it to your own hurt. But we were created to show forth His glory. And when we accept that, we find a new freedom, a joy. Just being what God wants me to be. Some of us meet a lot of people. Some of you men in the business world meet a lot of people. So when you do, you should show Christ wherever you go. And I'm sometimes ashamed. I've apologized sometimes when I don't do that the way I should. Some of the ladies don't get out as much, maybe a little bit every once in a while. One of the most beautiful things you can do is be Jesus to your children. To show Jesus right where you are. The image of God, the glory of God. The glory of God on a man. The glory of God on a woman, on a young person. Is when we're in our place, honest, open-hearted, open conscience, free, serving the Lord. Is what God wants to be. But to be selfish and proud is ugly. You know what it's like to be selfish? Sure we do, we all know. You know, there's a day when we all have days, and some days good days, some days bad days, and you get up there wrong, and you start fighting for your rights, and you fight for yourself, and you try to do for yourself. And even if you get everything you want, let's say someday you can do everything you want just the way you want to do it. You know, you just do what you want. Have you ever had a day where you just get everything you want, and at the end you feel like, oh, tired of it? Because living for yourself never satisfies. It's sort of a paradox. You think, well, if I could have everything I want, you know, for a child, if I could have all the candies I want, and all this and all the toys and all the things that I'd have everything I want, and no other child get in my way and take them away from me, and I could have the biggest ones, I could have everything I want, that child is the most miserable child. Okay? And the same thing is true for us. When we live for ourselves, live selfishly, we end up being sad, lonely. We don't have a good relationship with other people. We're fighting for ourselves. But that's not what we were created for. We were created to be like Him. And that means dying to self. And that's why Jesus said, and we'll talk more about that, Jesus said that a few times, if anyone wants to follow Me, if anyone wants to be My disciple, number one, die to yourself, take your cross daily, and die to myself and live for Him. He who seeks his life shall lose it. I have to translate. I don't use it in Spanish. It's in English as well as in Spanish. He that seeks his own life loses it. But he that loses his life finds it. When we give up ourselves and we live for Him, we live for His glory, then we find what we were made to be. Find what we were made to be. And like I said, you can see that on people's faces. A man who lives for himself and struggles for himself, or a lady who's always... You can see it. There's that frustration on their face. There's that cloud over their face. But when they find that change of heart, and you can see it on the face again, the freedom, the joy. A little story here for the boys and the girls. Boys especially, they like dogs. I'm sorry, girls. You girls like dogs too. I like dogs. I like all kinds of animals. I kid my daughter, and that's why I like her too. No, just kidding. She likes animals too. I won't talk about a dog that I got when Santiago was at our place. I wanted to get a better dog. I always had these little mutts, little dogs, you know, cheap dogs don't cost anything. So, and my boys wanted to get a bigger dog and a better dog. So, you know, this man thing of having a big dog. I couldn't afford to buy a purebred dog. So I went to the dog pound. I called the dog pound. You know what a dog pound is? That's where they pick up stray dogs or people that don't want a dog. They give it to the dog pound. And then they give those dogs away. So I told them, hey, if you ever get a purebred dog, let me know. I'm looking for a dog. Well, we've got, I think he said, we have 200 dogs here. You want to come? There's all kinds. And I said, I'd like to have a purebred. Oh, we don't have any purebreds. Oh, mutts. Well, if you ever get a purebred, let me know. And I want to come pick up this dog. So first she called me up one day and said they had, I think it was two boxers. And I would have enjoyed having a boxer, but it didn't suit me to go pick him up. It was a little distance away, and so I didn't go. And then later she called me up and says, listen, we've got a beautiful German Shepherd dog. I like German Shepherds. And this happened that I had a trip out to that area anyway, and so... Okay, I'm going to go pick up the dog. Okay, I'll come get him. When I get there, she says, you might want to check him out. He's a little aggressive. He's a little mean. You might... Oh, thank you. Tell me now after I came all the way out here. But anyway, so I go out, and sure enough, he was big. He was a big German Shepherd. He's big for German Shepherds. And had him in this cage, and she had told me he's a little mad. And so I said, do I want this one or don't I? And I walked up to the cage he was in, and the first thing he did is... growled at me. I'm going to take this dog home. So the man went in and got him out. He knew him, brought him out. And, you know, his name was Casey. And so I said, Casey, and I take the risk and I put my hand on if he'll bite me or not. He didn't. So I started stroking him and petting him. And as I did that, something happened between me and the dog here. And, I'll try it. Let me take this dog and try it. So I had a crate in the back of the van, and I put the dog in there. And Every time it's about a 3-hour drive home again. Every time I'd stop, I'd go back and talk to him and stroke him, you know, and try to make sure that he's going to be my friend when we get home. And by the time we got home, he was. And especially since he got to a new place, and I tied him out by the barn, and then he was the only person I knew. And he did like me. But this dog, the big German Shepherd dog, the lady told me that he had lived all his life in a little porch. She said it was about half of this maybe, on a little porch in San Jose in the city, on a little porch tied up with a big chain. And I noticed on the tip of his nose, he had a sore on his nose, and the tips of his ears were sore, like festering wounds. And I asked her, "What's that?" And she just sort of fumbled around, didn't tell me. I discovered later what it was. When I pick up a piece of wood or a stick or something like this, he would just roll over. So I saw that people would dominate him, just beat him. It took a long time for those things to heal up. They just literally beat him to keep him under control. And here this dog spent all his life on this porch, tied up with a big chain. You know what dogs do like that? They jump up and down and bark and bark and bark and bark. So I thought, well, this is going to be a challenge. Have you read Philip Keller's book about the border collie that he took home? I had read that one. I said, okay, we're going to try and see what we can make out of this dog. Well, number one, I was his friend. I was the only one he knew, and I was, and I think I still am. I'm close, at least, to his first love. So he'd stand out there and bark. I didn't turn him loose, of course, right away. He'd bark, and he'd look at the house, always looking for me. And when I'd come out, he was all happy. And the next thing I saw he liked were my goats. Oh, he'd get excited. I don't think he'd ever see, if he'd lived all his life in San Jose, he'd never seen a goat, never seen a cow, never seen an animal. He'd just stand there and just all excited about these goats. And I thought, oh, this guy looks like a wolf. I started worrying. If he gets loose, this old wolf is going to kill some of my goats. And you always think positive. I thought, he's probably going to kill the best one I've got, you know. And if I'm going to have this dog and start killing my good goats, I can't have him. And honestly, I was thinking about meaning to get rid of him. Because he was so intent. He'd stand there and just, all excited, look at those goats. So, wow, what do I do now? I'm afraid he's going to get loose and then kill my goats. So I said, well, I'm going to try it. And I got a piece of wood, a stick in one hand, and I took his chain in the other hand. We're going to see what he does to the goats. And I took him into the corral, into the pen where the goats were. And I was expecting him just to lunge at him, just yow. And I was going to try to teach him not to do that, you know. Casey, we don't do this with goats. But you know what? When I turned him in there, I found out he was a German Shepherd. He did not bite them. He loved them. He'd get in and he'd smell them. And then he would go behind him. He'd nip him just a little bit to get him moving. Instinct, natural. He'd get in there and get the goats. And we had a lot of fun. Believe me, I had gray hair in my beard. But I was out there with the chain on the dog, and we were chasing goats around. And that dog was just full of joy. You know, he just, this is what he loved doing. And I was out there with him, and just like little boys. And we were chasing goats. And he had at last found, was able to do what he was bred to do. Natural. We'll have some more problems. I'll tell some more about. We'll have some more Casey stories. He's taught me a lot of things. I think the Lord had a reason to bring this dog in my life. But all at once, and I had fun, and he had fun, and he just loved little baby goats. You know, you'd think he'd bite them. He just licks them. He just loves them. The story that I find in Casey was not made to be tied on a porch and beat with a stick. Poor dog. Poor dog. I wish I could give him a better life. I have sort of a small farm. He's very protective of the barn and the goats. He likes them. He protects them. So I need to keep him tied on. I wish I could turn him loose. But if someone comes around, he's so protective of the goats that he might bite someone. So I wish I'd have a big farm where I could just turn him loose and have some cattle or some horses. I have a small farm with just little goats. But anyway, this dog was bred to be a shepherd, to be with the animals. And that was his joy. He was not made. But that comes back, and I think you just compare that to our lives. You know, we were not made to live for ourselves. I did that too long, and I still struggle with it sometimes. A lot of people waste a lot of years living for yourself. And what it ends up, you just end up being tied on with a chain and beat with a stick. life never find satisfaction, never find what you're looking for when we live for ourselves. But when we go back to what God wants us to be, it's just like Casey getting back. It just blessed my heart to see his joy in going back to be what he should be. You know, just the dog what he should be. That's just a dog. But for us, it's the same way. When we live for ourselves and we fight for ourselves, and we can't get along with mom, we can't get along with dad, we can't get along with the boss, we can't get along with anyone, we even kick the dog. We can't even get along, you know, because we're so selfish, we're living for ourselves. But if we can understand this foundational truth, that we were created for another reason. We were created to give up our own rights and to live for someone else. This sounds funny, but you know, it's really not that... May I say this? Listen to me. It's not really that important what I like or what I want or what I wish I could do. You can fight all your life trying to find what you want. And you keep bumping your head and bumping your head. When we can give up and say, I want to do what He wants. What God wants. I want His dreams, His plans, His purpose. And all at once, the glasses fit. All at once, the glasses fit. But as long as we fight for ourselves, it doesn't fit, it doesn't work. So, that's a foundational truth that I think it's good that we look at. And I'd like to encourage all of us to look at ourselves and to see most of our problems are related to this problem. Most of our problems are related to this, of trying to fight for ourselves and be something for ourselves instead of understanding that when we give up, be what God wants us to be. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's got the story of redemption. We're going to be talking about redemption. But right now we're just talking about the purpose. But that is our purpose. That is our goal. That's why we're here, to show off here in Tangent and these other towns around here. Wherever you are, the people you meet, is to show forth the glories of Him who redeemed us and loved us. The glories of God. Man has, you know, the warblers are still beautiful. The hawks, the clouds. You enjoyed the rain this morning? Think about how God was watering the earth. That still does what God wants to do. One of the most ugliest things in this world is humanity. What we have done. You know, we have this, we'll talk more about that, we have this ability to have dominion. And what man can't do. You know? Think about this, your seed projects. You can send these packages seeds and send seeds all over the world. Isn't that something? You ever think of this one? This is something interesting. Bananas, just a simple thing. But bananas, when they get ripe, they only last about 2 or 3 days and they spoil. They don't last very long until they spoil. And you don't raise bananas up here, right? We raise bananas at home. But every supermarket, almost every supermarket up here has bananas ripe, right? Just ready. How do they do that? You ever think of it? That's quite a feat. There's some secrets to it, that they use a little hormones and trick you a little bit. But how do they pick bananas and get them in all the supermarkets? Almost every supermarket in the United States has bananas just ready. That's quite a feat. They bring them so far. And they get them here and they're just, you know. And there's so many things. A man can take cows and develop wonderful milk producers. And man can, what he can't do with the computer. And all this. You know, this is man's ability. This is God-given. The capacity to reason, to think, to plan, all of this. That's part of our, and it's not wrong to work, and it's not wrong to do good work, and it's not wrong to do it right. But we should always remember the purpose. To give glory to Him. To give glory to Him. And not just do it selfishly, do it for ourselves, do it in the humanity. The world today, of course, does a lot of these things for the harm of others. You know, harm other people, but we can use these for good, and that's our goal. We should be for His glory in everything we do. So as you look at that, maybe we need to readjust some things. Maybe not, I don't know. But I'll encourage you to think about it. No matter what you do, no matter whatever happens, I'd encourage you, this is what you want to do. Be for the glory of God. When I get to the end of my life, someday there's going to be a coffin sitting up. I don't know how you do it here. You set the coffins up front or back. There's going to be a coffin up here and I'm going to be in it. Or you're going to be in it. When that day comes, I hope they can say, he did what God wanted him to do. I don't want to waste my time on things that are not God's plan and God's glory. By that, I'm not saying he can't work and have a business. That's fine. What Brother Samuel told me today, he said he raises sheep, he raises grass, he raises pigs, he raises chickens, and he raises children. But the main thing is raising children. And he does the other things just to cover the expenses, raising his children. That's a good priority. That's set up right. Well, you know how often we mess up, fathers, and we do it the other way? My problem, even as a minister, I don't do much business. I'm not a businessman. But I can get so busy in the Lord's work that I neglect my own children. And I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, I messed it up. Today's the first day of the rest of my life, as they say. And let's dedicate our lives to do what God wants me to do. And if that means getting rid of some things, we'll just do it. But let's do what God wants me to do. Let's make sure that I'm doing God's will. Right now. You know, Ryan's not a father right now. Ryan's not a husband yet. He's not a school teacher yet. But right where we are, be what God wants me to be. Show forth his glory and quit fighting for myself and starting for myself. I had another point here, but maybe I'll leave that for tomorrow. I think that should be enough. I'd just like to encourage you to think about this. All of us, young people, old people, just sit down and think, you know, focus. Let's think you're getting close to the end of your life. I mean, well, we don't know. We have no idea knowing, you know. Some of us might live to be 96, some of us might live to 16. Some of us might live to 26, some of them 36, some less, some more. I remember talking to a young man, he was 33. And he discovered he had cancer. Lung cancer. And he was one of those tough guys, like a lot of men are, refused to go to the doctor. And when he did, it was way out of hand. I think it was 12, 13 days later he died. He found out, and it was 12 days later he died. And I told him, I said, Alexis, some people die at 96, some at 86, some die at 33. The Lord has decided this. Your life is going to be 33 years. Get ready to die. Get ready to go. And he did. Beautiful experience. I did something I never did before. I married him. About 28 hours before he died, I married him. You can say, why in the world? Well, he was living with this woman. And they were living in sin. And he says, I want to make this right. And we talked about, well, you can separate. He says, Mark, I'd like to marry her before we die. And I asked the lady, I said, are you willing to marry a man who's dying? She said, yes, I would. I did something, Brother Jason, maybe I shouldn't say this. She wasn't a Christian even. I wouldn't do that usually, marry a couple like that. But I also helped this man make things right. I asked him, saw him ask women. I saw him take a little boy. The lady he lived with had a little boy that was not his. And I saw him reach her and pull that little boy beside the boy and said, I'm sorry. I've been very mean to you. Forgive me. The little boy. And I saw him make his life right. And when he died with the peace of Jesus in his heart. I asked him, you ready to go, right? He smiled and had the sweat on his brow and could hardly breathe anymore because his lungs were giving out. He said, I said, ready to go. Yes. You ready to go? Yes. And I said, someday I'll meet you up there. Yes. He smiled. And he died with the joy of the Lord in his heart. But he had to accept the fact that God only gave him 33 years. We don't know. He knew. He found out. And he was able to make things right and died. It's a beautiful testimony for the whole community, the way he died. But you know, now, when am I? I'm 51? I don't know how many years I'm going to have. Some die at 16, some die at 61, some die at 33. But I would like to just encourage all of us, let's do what God wants created us to do. And let's start now. And if we have to adjust things, let's adjust them. But when I die, I want to say I did what I was called to do. And that doesn't mean you have to change your work. It might make a difference how you do it or the motive you have in what you do. But the purpose God has us here for is to show His glory. And I'd like to open up. Someone like to say something. One of your brethren or someone like to say something. Have a testimony, something related to this before we close in prayer. I had another point here, but I think I'll wait for tomorrow on that one. That's fine if you don't. I like to encourage especially young people. I have a heart for young people. I still feel like I'm a young person, in spite of my gray hair. I'd like you to think about this. And if you've been struggling and not knowing what you should do with your life, let's keep thinking about it and praying about it the next few days. Tomorrow's going to build on a subject on top of this. I'd encourage you the next few days, just tomorrow, tonight, think about your life and think, what do you want to do with your life? There's a lot of other options. I encourage us to think, and you know, what really do I want to do with my life? Do I want to do what God made me to do? Do I want to be what God wants me to be? And God bless you. Let's stand for a word of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Word and what it teaches us. And we thank you for Jesus that made this possible. We thank you that you created us for a purpose, Lord. We were not created in vain. It's not a meaningless, empty life, but there is a definite purpose in our lives. And Lord, you know each one of us here tonight. You know each heart, each person, and you know our needs and our struggles and our longing to find meaning in life and to find you. I just pray tonight that you would minister to our hearts and speak to us and help us to refocus. Maybe some of us need to refocus, some of us who have committed our lives to you. Maybe we need to refocus and remember the main reason we're here. There's a lot of other things we do just to cover the costs, and we need to do these things till we get to the end. But the main reason is your glory and your name and your kingdom. Help us, Lord. And there's young people here and boys and girls that here, Lord, that their future is in their hands and their decision. I just pray that you would help them tonight and the next few evenings to turn their hearts towards you. Turn their hearts to home. And to love you and do what you want them to do. Satan has a lot of things to offer. There's a lot of options out there. And there's a lot of voices calling. But help us to call, listen to your call. Come to where we need to be and where we should be. We thank you, Father. Bless us. And bless the rest of the meetings too. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.